Day 87. Tuck and I emerged from the smoldering northeastern edge of the flame forest at noon yesterday. Promptly set up camp by the edge of a small stream and slept for 18 hours straight, making up for 3 nights of no sleep and 2 grueling days moving without rest through a nightmare of flame and ash. Everywhere we looked as we approached the hogback ridge that marked the terminus of the forest, we could see seed pods and cones burst open with new life for the various fire species that had died in the conflagration of the previous 2 nights. 5 of our arrestor rods still functioned, although neither Tuck nor I was eager to test them another night. Our surviving packbred collapsed and died the instant the heavy load was lifted off its back. I awoke this morning at dawn to the sound of running water. I followed the small stream a kilometer to the northeast, following a deepening in its sound, until suddenly it dropped from sight. The cleft. I had almost forgotten our destination. This morning, stumbling through the fog, leaping from one wet rock to another alongside the widening stream, I took a leap to a final boulder, teetered there, regained my balance, and looked straight down above a waterfall that dropped almost 3,000 meters to mist, rock, and river far below. The cleft was not carved out of the rising plateau, as was the legendary Grand Canyon on Old Earth, or World Crack on Hebron. In spite of its active oceans and seemingly Earth-like continents, Hyperion is tectonically quite dead. More like Mars, Lussis, or Armagast in its total lack of continental drift. And like Mars and Lussis, Hyperion is afflicted with its deep ice ages. Although here, the periodicity is spread to 37 million years by the long ellipse of the currently absent binary dwarf. The comm log compares the cleft to the pre-terraformed Mariner Valley on Mars, both being caused by the weakening of crust through periodic freeze and thaw over the eons, followed by the flow of subterranean rivers such as the Khans. Then the massive collapse, running like a long scar through the mountainous wing of the continent Aquila. Tuck joined me as I stood on the edge of the cleft. I was naked, rinsing the ash smell from my traveling clothes and cassock. I splashed cold water over my pale flesh and laughed out loud as the echo of Tuck's shouts came back from the north wall, 2/3 of a kilometer away. Because of the nature of the crust collapse, Tuck and I stood far out on an overhang that hid the south wall below us. Although perilously exposed, we assumed that the rocky cornice which had defied gravity for millions of years would last a few more hours, as we bathed, relaxed, shouted echoing hellos until we were hoarse, and generally acted like children liberated from school. Tuck confessed that he had never penetrated the full width of the flame forest, nor known anyone who had in this season, and announced that, now that the Tesla trees were becoming fully active, he would have at least a 3-month wait until he could return. He did not seem too sorry, and I was glad to have him with me. In the afternoon, we transported my gear in relays, setting up camp near the stream 100 meters back from the cornice, and stacking my flow foam boxes of scientific gear for further sorting in the morning. It was cold this evening. After dinner, just before sunset, I pulled on my thermal jacket and walked alone to a rocky ledge southwest of where I had first encountered the cleft. From my vantage point, far out over the river, the view was memorable. Mists rose from unseen waterfalls, tumbling to the river far below. Spray rising in shifting curtains of mist to multiply the setting sun into a dozen violet spheres and twice that many rainbows. I watched as each spectrum was born, rose toward the darkening dome of sky and died. As the cooling air settled into the cracks and caverns of the plateau and the warm air rushed skyward, pulling leaves, twigs, and mist upward in a vertical gale. A sound ebbed up out of the cleft, as if the continent itself was calling with the voices of stone giants. Gigantic bamboo flutes, church organs the size of palaces. The clear, perfect notes ranging from the shrillest soprano to the deepest bass. I speculated on wind vectors against the fluted rock walls, on caverns far below, venting deep cracks in the motionless crust, and on the illusion of human voices that random harmonics can generate. But in the end, I set aside speculation, and simply listened as the cleft sang its farewell hymn to the sun.